Good morning, everyone. I'm jumping over to YouTube, and I'll be right with you. Just bear with me for a second, please. Hope you all are doing well this morning. Good morning, YouTube. Welcome aboard. Saturday morning, August the 4th, 2020. And hope you all are having a good morning. Yeah, Chuck, I guess you're right. Anyway, a lot of people have a lot of different ideas about salvation and about redemption and about what the work that Christ actually accomplished for us did. If you do a study on the word sin, you'll find that there are 44 pages in the, and sin is mentioned literally thousands of times in the Bible. So it must be a pretty important subject if the word sin is mentioned that many times. And we're told to flee sin, flee fornication, flee every sin. And we're told to not deny that we struggle with sin. But we are also told that Christ has taken our sin upon himself. We are told to sin not. We are told the sting of death is sin and the strength of sin is the law. But we are also told that he was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. This aspect of substitution is very important. Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sin that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and of our Father. Well, Scripture concluded all under sin, Galatians 3:22, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. In Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We have a great high priest. When we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We don't have to go to a priest to confess our sins. We don't have to go to what the Roman Catholic Church calls Holy Father. We go to Jesus Christ, who is our advocate, who is our high priest. And so, in 2 Chronicles 6:25, then hear thou from heaven, forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again into the land which thou gavest them to the fathers. There's this aspect of communion between God's people and Jesus Christ as our high priest, as our advocate. 2 Chronicles 6:36 says, there is no man which sinneth not. There is no man that sinneth not. You know, we are to confess our sins before Christ. Yes, he's forgiven all of our sins. But that doesn't mean that we're perfect. That doesn't mean that we have... we're no longer in a battle between the flesh and the devil. If that were the case, we wouldn't be admonished to be put on the whole armor of God. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities in high places. Repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. John 1:29. Well, we are commanded to sin no more. But again, if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Well, I'm glad that we have a remedy for sin. Well, I'm glad that his blood availeth for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Transgressions and iniquities our sin. When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, John 16:8. Well, many people do not believe that Jesus Christ is the remedy for sin. Peter, preaching in Acts 2:38, says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Acts 5:31, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Acts 10:43, to him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. So if we've been given the faith of Christ, if we believe in Jesus Christ, we have been given remission of our sins. Acts 13:38. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. All of us have a sin problem. But we as Christians have been forgiven of our sins. And we've been given the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. He will not impute our sins to us. And so, Acts 26:18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So we see that those who have been blood bought have received forgiveness of sins and an inheritance. An inheritance. Many times that we go through life and we may stumble and fall at times. And for the Christian, we know what the remedy for our sin is. And repentance comes from God Himself. Romans 3:20 says, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for the law is the knowledge of sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Romans 3:20, 23, and 25. Romans 4:7 says, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Romans 4:8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered in the world and death by sin, so death passed upon men, for all have sinned. Well, he also tells us that in Romans 5, uh, 20 and 21, moreover the law entered that offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Romans 6:1-2. Romans 6:6, knowing that this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might destroy, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Romans 6:7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Romans 6:11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of righteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. If we didn't still have this battle, the flesh, between the flesh and the spirit, if we did not, we were free of all temptation to sin, we would already have our glorified bodies. But in Romans 6:14 it says, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What then, shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace, God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom ye obey? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. But now, being free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did the work in our members to bring forth unto death. Well, we can see the result of sin. And in Romans 7, Paul goes through this great battle between the flesh and the spirit. He says, in beginning in verses 7, Romans 7:14, he says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. For the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." Romans 8:10. Romans 11:27 tells us, "For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." Well, we see this. We were born and conceived in sin. And the only remedy for sin is the cross of Calvary. We're told in 1 Corinthians 6:18, "Flee fornication. Every sin that doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." Tells us that when we sin against the brethren, we wound their weak conscience, and we sin against Christ. I'm glad that we have been given the remedy for sin. 1 Corinthians 15, "I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is dead. Your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Awake to Christ, awake to righteousness, and sin not. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law." "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Galatians 1:4, "Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God." Well, I would encourage you, if you ever have the opportunity to do a study on this do a word study on sin in the Bible. Ephesians 2:1 says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." Ephesians 2:5, "Even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved." Colossians 2:13, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, have forgiven you all trespasses." All trespasses, not some trespasses, all trespasses. Well, I hope this gives you something to think about this morning. And so, if you're struggling with sin this morning, take it to Jesus. Cry out to Jesus for his aid and his help. It says we can come boldly to the throne of grace where we can find mercy to help in time of need. Hebrews 2:17, "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." He's already paid for all of our sins. All of our sins have been paid for. He's taken them upon himself. Hebrews 8:12, "I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." Romans 9:26, "For then he must have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Hebrews 9:28, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Hebrews 10:2, "For then would they have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sin." It is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Jesus Christ was the only perfect sacrifice. Hebrews 10:12, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Hebrews 10:17. Draw nigh, James 4:8, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." James 5:15, "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." First Peter 2:24, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." First Peter 3:18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Well, I'm glad that we have forgiveness of sins. is the propitiation for our sins. He's the propitiation for the sins of all of his people. He came to save his people from their sins, and he did it. And so he says in Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who's the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So that's really what's been on my mind this morning, is this sin problem. But you know, we have been saved. We have been blood bought. We have been washed. We've been cleaned by the blood of the Lamb. And we have been given forgiveness from our sins. Isn't that a great blessing to know? That we have forgiveness of sins. Well, I want to conclude today with this poem. And I hope that you have a good weekend this weekend. And let us realize that our hope is in the completed work of Jesus Christ on the cruel and rugged cross of Calvary, and that we have no hope apart from that, and that his blood is effectual for all for whom he died, and there's no no other place we can look to. This is entitled The Blood of Christ. What did the blood of Christ accomplish for us? Did it merely make it possible that we could be saved? No, it secured our salvation forever, you see, that we would live with Jesus for eternity. The blood of Jesus could never fail what it was purposed to do. This brings comfort to my soul, and I hope comfort to you. He did not hang in agony upon the cruel tree just to make our salvation only a possibility. So the next time you hear someone proclaiming salvation is only a possibility based on man's free will, smile to yourself and say, "My redemption's already fulfilled." May the good Lord be with you today, is my prayer. God bless.